the S&P, the ASX stocks.
This is Motley Fool Money.
Welcome to Motley Fool Money, the podcast that
does very, very good Richie Bennell impersonations.
Thanks,
yes,
mate.
Welcome back. It's Ashes season.
I've so run out of things to say at the start there, so thank you for that.
What do you mean? That was the highlight. That's the best we've done so far.
I think maybe that's true, which is very sad. I'm Andrew Page.
And I'm Scott Phillips. G'day, fools.
It's good to have you with us today. What are we going to talk about today, Mr. Phillips? Well, a whole range of things.
Excellent.
We're going to come back to Brick X. It's another Brick X in the wall.
What the hell is that?
Like it?
Hey.
We'll revisit that because a little bit of news there.
Okay.
We're gonna get super exciting. We're going to talk about accounting software.
Yay!
Doesn't get better than accounting
that
software,
does it? That is the highlight of my week.
Yep. Reckon gets a bit of a bid there, and we'll tell you all about that, and then go down all kinds of rabbit holes afterwards. And of course...
You know how to sell it, dude, don't you?
I do.
We're going to go down the rabbit hole, but stay tuned.
It's
going to be awesome.
You're going to love it. It's just become such a regular feature. We're going to talk about Bitcoin. It rolls on. What a difference a week makes. We're going to update everyone on your quote-unquote investment.
Hey, be nice.
And well, I think the last laugh's going to be on me when we update everyone as to what's happened. And finally, I'm going to get on my high horse and rant. Like Mussolini from the balcony, I'm going to tell you a bit of a beef of mine. Yeah, but first, Brick X.
You mean welcome back?
Yes, exactly.
I've been away for a week.
Yes. It's true. Yeah, it's
nice of you to see me.
I didn't notice. How was it?
It was awesome. Yeah. It was a great week. I went to the US to our headquarters in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, just beside
lovely
DC
part of the
there.
World. Yep.
It is, very much is.
Yep.
Spent a bit of time with our colleagues. We had our all hands company meeting on Thursday and Friday last week, which was very good.
Yep.
And I managed somehow to avoid too bad jet lag, which is a pretty big victory.
I don't know how you do that.
That is the highlight of the whole thing.
What was the best movie you saw on the plane?
Oh, good question. You know what I did? This is embarrassing. You know what I did rewatch?
What?
Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, man. Is that aged?
No,
well?
That's the great thing about it. This is a massive tangent. That's the great thing. I watched it. I was like, oh, this is like, you know, you like the old classics to be great still.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be really bad. And like, you know, there's no mobile phones and there's kind of some stuff that's really notable, but it actually hasn't aged that badly at all. It could have been with a couple of small changes.
Yeah.
It still could have been filmed today. And it's still very funny and a very well worthwhile
movie.
There you
go. Way off tangent.
All right.
We've only just started. Brick X, mate. Tell me what the hell is Brick X?
This is it's either fantastic or it's not, depending on where you look at it. And I think what I would start by saying is this is one of the new revolutions, if you like, in financial technology or fintech, as the gurus like to call it these days.
Love a bit of fintech.
Indeed. There's a lot going on in the fintech world. Technology has allowed financial services companies to really change what they do and how they do it. Now, Brick X combines a couple of things, the stock market and Aussie's love of property. And Brick X is designed to be somewhat of an exchange, a stock exchange of sorts, if you like, when it comes to property.
Mm. Now, we touched on it, I think it might have been probably 6-7 months ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I was there, and I think you were a little bit of a skeptic at the time. I tried to, this isn't I told you so because the jury is still well out, but I thought it had some interesting features, and it's come back into the news recently. In fact, we did get a question from Ryan.
We did?
Sneds91 on Twitter, and he said, hey,
Thank you,
Rhino. A question for your podcast. Have you seen this new investing company called BrickX? Buy a brick which is valued by the house price. As the house price grows, so does your quote-unquote brick. Sounds like a fad to me, like Bitcoin. Nice. Sorry, Scott, had to put that in.
Thanks, Ned. Good one.
I like him already. We actually, throughout the week, we saw Westpac put in a bid, which has probably done a lot to legitimize
this. Yeah, not so much a bid, but they're adding a bit of money to the company as part of a capital injection. Yeah.
Yes, through their venture capital fund, Reinventure Group.
Reinventure.
Nice.
I bet some consultants had a fortune for that name.
Yes,
Reinventure.
We're
Come
in the
on.
Wrong gig, aren't we?
Well, I'm not that creative. I don't know about you.
Well,
we're probably exactly where we should be, quite frankly.
That makes a lot of sense.
We're not going to get rich doing it.
So I think, is it a fad? Well, I think, first of all, a lot of things when they are new seem faddish. Bitcoin is a really good example, which you might circle back on that as well. But remember how we're old enough to remember the internet coming in.
And we really are.
Remember, like, there was a lot of sort of skepticism as to what that was going to be. So there's part of me that has been around long enough to know that a lot of these things that seem silly early on can become quite legitimate.
Yeah.
But again, history also teaches you that for every one that does sort of legitimize, there's plenty that don't. I think in general, the concept overall is a sensible one. It's not too different from the share market. We break up companies into little bits and we buy and sell them. Why not do it with a property? It's a different type of asset. But as long as you can get a market for that, as long as that market has some degree of efficiency, as long as there's not a whole bunch of middlemen in there sort of clipping the tickets on the way through.
Yeah.
That is, there's not too much friction. I actually don't have a problem with it.
I was just very quick story, and I'll get back to your question. David and Tom Gardner, our co-founders, were actually invited onto talk show TV. It was Oprah or Sally Jesse, one of those, back in the mid-90s.
I've seen the clip.
And they were actually invited on to defend the concept that people might possibly one day actually share their credit card details online.
Yeah.
This was back in the to your point about the skeptical days.
Yeah.
People were literally saying, there is no way on God's green earth I'm ever going to buy anything online using a credit card.
Yeah.
And David and Tom were like, no, they will. No, that's stupid. And I can actually remember myself thinking about, I'm not sure if it's safe or not, right back at that point.
I remember that. Mate, right. I came from a country town. I remember when the ATM came. Can you imagine that? I know it's been around for ages, but for the
you are very old, though.
The little town I was in,
it
was a new thing. And people were like, there's no way I'm getting my money out of a hole in the wall. That just seems really, really dodgy.
So let's go back to BrickX. I think the interesting, so the idea of fractionalizing, to use a horrible analytical term, ownership of housing, like we've done with shares, you don't have to buy the whole of Woolworths. You can buy a small sliver of the business.
Yep.
The idea of being the same thing with housing is, at its heart, not a stupid idea.
Yeah.
My issue is not so much with the business itself. My issue is whether or not it's a good idea for Australians to be even more in love with property, even more speculative with their property investments than they are today. It's bad enough to kind of go, I will pay seven figures for a house. I will borrow a truckload of cash and I will hope I can pay it back with some growth over time. That's bad enough.
Yeah.
When you can then buy and sell those bricks, those shares, horrible bloody pun there with the whole bricks and the whole concept. Anyway, to be able to buy and sell those shares every day and have the share price move by, you know, 0.5%, a couple of percent either way in a given day, I just don't think we need any more, frankly, speculation on property, more people trying to make a dollar or lose a dollar, you know, trying to speculate on property.
I hear that, and it's that whole terrible cliche of, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. That is particularly in this current climate. That is a really bad analogy. Let me backtrack desperately and try and dig my way out of this hole.
We'll cut that out later.
Please do. It is something that people will be people, and you can't. If some people choose to abuse that, or some people choose to act recklessly with that, it doesn't mean the idea. Look, you and I are huge advocates of the share market.
Yes,
you know, we hear all the time telling people to do that. It's a very smart thing. Now, I would say a very, very significant number of people approach it in a very silly, silly way, but that doesn't mean it should be shut down.
No, that's true. Although I would say over time, there are many, many more shares traded than there ever have been. There are options, there are futures, there are derivatives, there are God knows how many ways to, I don't know what the right word is, lose money probably, or try and make money with different investment kind of instruments, to use again a horrible term. The people who get rich with this sort of stuff are the people who are brokering, who are buying and selling, who are making the market for these things.
Yeah,
you know, the net value of options trading is exactly zero, but the problem is it's zero because you win, I lose, I win, you lose.
Yeah.
But it's not even that. It's zero less the commissions, less the brokerage, less the borrowing
less than
costs.
A zero sum.
Right. Yep. So that's exactly the case. So I think you're right. By the same token, though, we have laws and regulations for a reason in a whole lot of areas.
Yep.
You know, cars don't kill people. Okay, well, let them drive at a million miles an hour. Well, we say, you know what? It's not in everyone's best interest for that to be true.
You need a ref on the field.
Seatbelts. Yes. Okay. You know, who dies if I don't wear a seatbelt? Only me. Shouldn't it be my choice? Well, yes, but we know people aren't rational all the time. Yes. And so making us wear seatbelts isn't it benefit positive for my life. Exactly.
I get that. Exactly. So what I would say to Ryan is that in general, the concept is a sensible one, but what may not be sensible is the way that people could approach it. If you were looking at one of these houses, one of these bricks, and you had a good fundamental handle of the value of that asset, and these assets are rented out, and you actually get a quote unquote dividend or the equivalent of
an income. Yep.
And if you can look at that and it makes sense, and you're prepared to sort of hold this for a number of years to let that income stream sort of validate the investment, perhaps get a little bit of capital growth over time, then I think it's perfectly sensible. If you're buying a brick with the expectation that you can flip it next week for 10%, well, you might get lucky. You might make 100% in a week. I don't know, but you might also do your dough. So that's where it gets silly.
Yep. That's a perfect example. I think that's exactly right. I just think, as you say, buy bricks the way you would buy property, which is thoughtfully, slowly, and with a very, very long-term time horizon if you're going to do it at all.
Yep, nice.
Motley Fool Money. Financial advice for real people, not trust fund hippies. Sign up for the newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
Let's talk about accounting software.
Jeez, you know how to get people in, don't you?
Well,
the clicking sounds, everyone just stopping the podcast right now. Right now, only you, me, and our mothers are listening to this.
I'm going to nerd out here because I think it's a
fascinating... He's not going too much. I'll keep him on track.
It's too many numbers. I think it's a fascinating area. There is a race...
Andrew Page, accounting software is fascinating. I can see that on billboards and coffee mugs everywhere.
Well, I don't know. Even if you're not sort of way into this kind of stuff, there's plenty of people, tradies out there on their way to a job who've probably got... zero or
right.
might MYOB, and they manage all their books. Or Reckon. Reckon used to do QuickBooks when it was when they had a partnership with Intuit. I'm getting way too detailed.
You really are.
But anyway, the point is that there's a bunch of different accounting software out there. In the last little while, these things are all moved to the cloud. So mm-hmm. it used to be desktop-based software. Mm-hmm. Now it's all in the cloud. Now you can all do it through an app. And that has had... A huge consequences for the industry.
Right.
It's done a couple of things. It's sort of created this churn event where people have sort of made... one of the great things about accounting software is that once you've got a client, you've got them for life. No one really changes the, unless you're the kind of person who likes a spinal transplant. Why would you do it? Because it's not that the other product has to be a bit better. It has to be 10 times better to justify the pain, the hassle, the risk, frankly, of changing. So
transfer all your records over, learn to use the software, try and set up all your new billing details.
Yeah,
all that kind of
you might have to get your accountant on that as well. Right. And there's a whole bunch of network effects in there. And so it's super, super. So it's wonderful. Huge, huge retention, huge amounts of recurring revenue. So when it started to switch over, then people were able to sort of shop around. Xero is the one that everyone talks about. It winning most of the market share at the moment. A Kiwi company that is just a phenomenal success. And
Australasian company, I like to call it.
An Australasian. We'll claim it when it works, and if it doesn't, it's all the Kiwi's
in the history
fault.
Of Russell Crowe, Sam Neill, and Farlap.
And Pavlova, don't forget
Xero,
that
another
well.
Great Australasian company.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but it's growing the pie as well. You think about all the tiny, small businesses out there that just used to run it on Excel, on a spreadsheet, and now they're just thinking, well, it's just so easy to
do. From the shoebox to the cloud.
They'll pay their $20 a month or whatever it is, and it just makes everything super easy.
Yep.
Now, the reason that we're going to talk about this is, well, we kind of got licensed to because just
you got licensed
earlier
to.
This week, Reckon is a relatively smallish company, managed to sell their accounting practice division. So this is the software that the accounting practices use to MYOB, M-Y-O-B. And they sold that to them for $180 million.
Nice.
Now, what's interesting about that is that $180 million was roughly the total value of the company, what we call the enterprise value.
Dude, how do you?
I'm coming back. I said there were rabbit holes. So what I want to ask to you, and I guess where we're going with all of this is
mixomatosis is a wonderful thing.
Mate, how do you sell half of your company, half of your earnings for almost the full value of your company? Did Reckon just sign the deal of the century?
So here's the great thing about that. You talked about the enterprise value. I'm going to take it back half a step because to the untrained eye, the company was sold on the stock exchange, was selling for $150 million right, for the total business. MYB, so I'm going...
I think it's a bit less, actually. It's about $120. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Reckon turns up and says, MYB turns up and says, here's $180 million for only half of that. Mm. It's kind of like someone walk up to you and say, you know, your $1 million house, Andrew.
Yep.
I'll pay $1 million, but I only want half of it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, well, why is that a bad deal?
Yeah.
And so there's lots of cool things going on here. And I think it's worth just thinking about, we'll break it up into a couple of pieces.
Okay.
The first thing is it is a great deal if the business that's left is worth more than zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's entirely, no pun intended. The simple reality is the market believes that this entire company is worth $125-140 million, whatever it is, plus a bit of debt that it carries. And you add the debt, and that's where you get the enterprise value you mentioned.
Yep.
So MYB is saying, I think half of your business is actually worth more than the total business. Mm. That would infer a couple of things. Either the market was wrong about the rest of it.
Possible.
Or the rest of the business is actually worth less than zero. In other words,
less than zero.
You can actually have a part of the business that's losing money or not likely to make any. So when
here's the interesting thing, because in Reckon's case, the other half of the business is making money, about $15 million in operating profit.
At least for now. And so this is where we get into and we don't really know the answer. We can speculate, we can have a view.
Mm.
But all we know is the market said the whole company's worth 140, but this half MYOB is worth 180. So either the market was wrong in the original valuation and the company was always worth more than 140, which I think is the most likely scenario for what it's worth.
Yep.
Or MYB is buying the jewel on the crown and the rest of the business, which is its legal business and its own cloud accounting package,
Reckon
which, is
one,
trying to, right,
yep.
which is trying to make a great thing.
Yep.
In one version of the world, it's worth a decent amount of money,
yep.
50, 60, $80 million.
Yep.
In the other version of the world, it's a distant fourth and not long for this world.
And a business in decline. Right.
Exactly. In which case, frankly, it's not worth anything at all.
Yep.
And if it loses money over time, it's actually worth less than nothing.
Right, right. So that explains that. I guess, hopefully it does.
It begins
to explain it.
Liam's fallen asleep on the other side of the desk over here.
I guess the other thing that people might be looking at is
accounting stuff. What the hell were you guys thinking?
Well, I guess where it gets interesting is that there's money to be made here, and Xero is a business that the very early investors have made squillions of dollars on. It's been a very volatile roller coaster ride. I've just talked about how attractive the business is. There is a huge land grab at play. It's not just these Australasian businesses. It's also over in the US. Intuit being the massive one there. I want to get in on the action, Scott. Right. So what do I do? Do I buy the current market leader in our country, Xero?
Mm.
Do I buy one that is a second player, but with a long history itself, which is MYOB,
yep,
which listed recently on the exchange?
Yes.
Or do I buy the small, potential up and comer? Now the business has been refocused. It's only on this. They've got a bunch of cash that they can develop to R&D. Or do I go into Reckon? What say you, sir?
Yes. Or no. One of the two. Here's the thing. It's all about the business, but it's also about the price.
Yes.
And the fascinating thing about this is one company is making a loss.
Yep.
Right?
It's Xero, yes. Well, accounting loss, yes.
So one's making a loss.
Mm-hmm.
One's making a decent amount of profit.
Yep.
The one that's making a loss is valued at $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
The one making a profit,
mm-hmm,
valued at $140 million.
Yep.
$4 billion for a loss,
yep,
$140 for a profit.
Yep.
And this is either the market's drastically wrong, which it still could be,
mm-hmm,
or the story is about the market assigning a value to the future earnings of a business.
As it should.
Not just the past.
Yep, as it should.
And so that's the really important difference. So you say, what business should I buy? Mm. That's one question.
Yep.
Which investment should I make, i.e. based on the price the shares are already selling for? That's a different story. And I think for my money, I don't like MYOB. It feels like it's stuck in the middle. Mm. It's not cheap. In fact, it's relatively expensive on a PE basis.
I don't like it either.
It's trying to grow by buying this business from Reckon. I don't think it's a stupid idea for them to buy that business for what it's worth.
No, but I don't think it's a price tag. Right. It seemed that was a lot of money.
Now, here's the other problem. Xero's worth $4 billion. It isn't making a buck. So
yep,
you've got to believe pretty strongly in a five-year vision.
Yes.
In fact, in the 2019 year, the consensus estimate, all the boffins who put their heads together and come up with a number, believe it'll make a profit of 5 cents a share.
Yep.
The share price is currently $30.
Yeah.
So it's basically trading at 600 times,
yes,
2019's,
yep,
profit.
Yep. Yep.
That's a very long time to wait for some returns. So yes, I frankly would probably sit this one out.
Yep.
We know some of the guys that work with us like Xero a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Reckon is also on hold on one of our other scorecards. So we kind of got a foot in both camps.
Mm-hmm.
Forced to choose, I think I'd buy Reckon.
I've owned both in the past. I don't own any at the moment. I think Xero has such momentum. I think they've got a very savvy team there. I think that they're doing some really interesting things. And I think that when you tend to win in this space, you keep winning. And that's, mm-hmm, because you have you've got these huge scale advantages. So the bigger, mm-hmm, you are, the more you can commit to R&D to make your product even better. You can, mm-hmm, fractionalize those costs over a wider and wider base. I think you also get these wonderful network effects as well. So the more people that, yep, use it, the more valuable it becomes. Xero is doing some really cool things where they are integrating in with all kinds of related products as well. So, you know, if you can integrate in with your bank account, you can integrate in with maybe your share side account where you manage it. Everything just sort of plugs into everything else and it's super, super, super easy. Reckon, on the other hand, I think has got a real challenge ahead of it because they are operating at a much smaller scale. They're always going to be pushing it uphill, so to speak. So one is a value play, deep value play, you might even,
yep,
say, and,
yep,
the other is a growth play.
Where are you putting your money?
I thought I was really smart because I did really well out of Xero, and then the price just kept on going up and up and up. I think it's probably reasonably priced, but I don't think it's a great bargain. Reckon, I think it's a little bit too early after this deal to know, so I would sit that one out.
I'd say hold, you know, we'll come back and talk about this later, but I figure Liam will crash tackle it if we ever try again. So
okay. This
may well be the last we hear from about Xero and Reckon. Liam, what say you?
I was interested when you started talking about buying and which companies to buy.
There you go.
Okay. You lost me when you got down the accounting software and how, yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Keep That's up. All right. Keep up, mate.
Come out on. Of that wormhole.
Okay, sorry. I
For
know
the record,
I
that was Andrew's idea.
It was.
All right.
Real money advice from real people. Not just a couple of dicks with a Porsche. Get more at fool.com.au/MMM.
From the sublime to the even more sublime, Andrew.
It's time to check in on Bitcoin.
Yes.
Last time we chatted, it was at about 9,000.
$9,800.
$9,800, and then it crashed.
It wasn't a great week.
25% down.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yay, I was right.
It had fallen from $9,800 to $7,800 in the space of about 4 days.
Told you.
You did.
Actually, what happened after that?
Well, it's you know what's even better than doing well?
What?
It's doing badly, having you skite, and then be able to say, look what I've just done. Through the miracle of my fantastic short-term speculative skills.
Yep.
Bitcoin.
Scott Market
now,
Timer Phillips.
$10,400.
Boom.
Boom.
You knew that was going to happen,
isn't
didn't
that,
you?
That is some serious price movement,
that is
right?
A massive
down 25
volatility.
And then back more than 25% in literally 7 days.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible.
It's phenomenal.
So
I'm right.
I think
just
it was
underline
Jim Chanos,
right.
Or one of those dudes who's basically saying, you know that whenever there is a crash and that you reach some kind of floor, there's probably some underlying value that is. In other words, it's not just tulip bulbs here that we're talking about.
Right.
And I've had a little bit of a, I'm loath to admit this, but after giving you grief, I've kind of been doing more and more research into this.
Oh, Liam, can we just hit record for a second? I want to capture this for later, for the primary.
Don't worry. Tell
sorry,
me.
So, yeah, so after you giving me grief, you've been doing some research.
I will start by saying I think investing, quote unquote, investing in it is a complete speculative disaster at this point in time. I wouldn't go near it.
Says the bloke who hasn't made 40% of his money in the last couple of weeks.
Can you sell? Oh, you can't sell. That's right. So you've made squat. So, but what I would say is that the more that I try to understand the blockchain technology that yes. underlies it. I think
can
it
I get,
is,
get to the bit where I'm right?
It is massive. I don't think you're right investing in it, but I do think that this is something that is incredibly, incredibly powerful, and that may be just in the way that the.
I don't think you're right investing in it, but it's great.
So I had it described.
That's Andrew's version of saying I can't admit you're right, but if you hadn't invested in it, it would have been a good idea.
I'm never going to admit that, no matter what the facts say. just as the TCP/IP protocol enabled data to be transferred. Oh, am I doing it again?
TCP/IP.
So when the internet was invented, when the interweb was invented, there was a protocol.
The internet was cool.
There was some cool stuff. There was a thing that allowed other things to be transferred across
there
the thing.
There we go.
In terms of the data transfer.
Yep.
And now we've got a protocol. I'm going to use the word protocol.
Because
I can't think of any.
I'll let you this
that time. Allows us now to transfer value. Now, is it going to be Bitcoin? Is it going to be Ethereum? Is it going to be Bitcoin Cash? There's probably about 100 plus different. We don't know. Yeah. But that technology is going to be game changing. So we're at a point of time where we're talking about the internet before the internet. We're talking about the stock market before the stock market.
Right.
So when I say I'm coming around to looking at this initially as some weird, nerdy curiosity that may or may not have value, just something that could be game-changing that our kids and grandkids look at and go, can you imagine a world without blockchain technology?
Right. And I think it's a good point. You know, the early days of the internet, you were literally sending packets of data that kind of went from point to point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could send text from point to point.
Yep.
And then you could send... We'll use HTML because people know what HTML is. The web look and feel.
Oh, so you're allowed to use techie acronyms, but I'm not. Okay, that's cool.
Dude,
that's cool.
We're going to go outside in a minute. We're going to ask 10 people what HTML, what's HTML, and 10 people whether it's TCP/IP. And I guarantee, I will put a cart and a beer on the fact I'm right. Do you want to take that bet right now?
You know what? I don't know what it means either. But if I say it, I sound like I'm really smart.
Deal.
TCP/IP.
HTML. Let's move on.
Before we do.
I tried, Liam. I desperately tried.
I just want to, because I know it's so hot, and it's in every single headline
so
around
right
the world,
now.
just let's distinguish between the technology and the actual Bitcoin and the speculation. I think that...
Between or split hairs? So you don't have to say
no,
right.
Absolutely distinguish right. between, because they are two very, very different things. And I stand resolute in saying, don't buy the stuff, because who knows what's going to happen.
I think that's probably smart. As I have said many times, my $100 was just literally to get some skin in the game and follow along. I'm excited that you're finally waking up to the potential. And I look forward to the very best day of this podcast. Liam, the very best day of this podcast is going to be the day Andrew walks in and says, guys, I have to admit this morning I just bought some Bitcoin. And I'm telling you that is going to happen.
I was going to say, one more thing. If you read the initial white paper by Satoshi, the guy who invented this stuff, if you can wrap your head around that, then you've got license to invest in it. If you can't, and I can't, and most people I know can't, I'm pretty sure you can't, then you shouldn't be investing in it. There's the litmus test right there.
You assume I'm not Satoshi himself.
Okay, well, you might be. Well, he's Australian, apparently.
There you go.
Oh, there's a whole other rabbit warren.
Satoshi being the guy who invented Bitcoin.
Yes.
At home.
Yes.
All right.
value stocks,
markets, stock market,
index, share market.
This is Motley Fool Money. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
Oh, no. So we're letting you rant about Bitcoin.
Yeah. And now it's another rant.
Now it's time for your
saddle up. Saddle up. There we go. So mate,
do I need to get a seat?
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to
make yourself comfortable. There's one thing that sucks about our industry is that any barbecue, any kind of time that, you know, you sort of start talking about, you know, the stock market, it's always, whatever the point in time is, it's always something. At the moment, it's lithium stocks, right? And before then, I said, we've talked about it before, it was graphene, and then it was uranium, and then it was this, and then it was that.
Hang on. Lithium's in Tesla's batteries.
It's in...
Lithium is going to power the solar world.
Yeah, it's in a lot of phone batteries, and they are...
Tesla cars.
And this is my point. So people very, very rationally and logically on a first order sort of level of thinking go, here is a technology, here is a resource that is going to see significant increase in demand. And I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is going to be significant money made in this space.
Right.
Therefore, I'm going to invest in this space early and I'm going to make money. And I think the problem is that there's twofold. I could have gone back 100 years and said, there's these things called trains and railways, and they're going to revolutionize our society. They are going to be huge. But 99% of the time you invested in one of those, you lost money. Same with airlines, same with automobiles for the most part.
Amazon.
And there is a difference.
No?
There is a difference between an industry doing well and the companies within that industry doing well. A very, very different thing.
And even well is a relative term, right? Just because there's more stuff mined doesn't even necessarily mean the industry will do well, let alone the shareholders.
Yeah, and so I think there is a first disconnect there. The second thing is that even those that do well, they will literally be the 1 in 100, if not 1 in 1,000.
Mm.
The other trouble is that people do this, as they say, I'm going to invest in this area because of that, and I see this long-term trend, this mega trend, and I'm going to invest in it.
Right.
And they buy something without knowing the first thing about the company, only knowing that it is tangentially related to it. And then they sell out a week later. So they're not even following through on their initial thing. So if you are there and you're serious, this is going to be huge, then for the love of God, understand which company you're going to invest in, what it does and how it's going to be one of these 1 in 100 that's going to be successful. And then put it in the goddamn bottom drawer, because this mega trend does not play out over a week, a year. This is a 5-year, minimum 10-year, probably 20-year type trend that you need to be involved in this
like
kind
Bitcoin.
Of stuff. So maybe like Bitcoin. So it's this disconnect, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's an absolute nightmare. What else was I going to say? Another really interesting point.
My biggest concern here is I desperately, desperately want to disagree with you to be the devil's advocate, but I can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah.
I think you're dead right. I think, look, here's what I would say. I think I mentioned Amazon. I was kind of kidding there. I think there is some value potentially in looking at a trend and trying to understand if there are companies that actually can benefit from it. So I take a slightly different tangent to you. I agree completely in terms of, hey, lithium is big, buy lithium. That's a frankly stupid thing to do. But it doesn't mean, like the dot-com boom, and I mentioned Amazon partly in jest, there were a couple of big winners out of the dot-com boom. They were Amazon and eBay. The rest of them effectively went to the wall during that period of time or simply have disappeared in the meantime.
And back at that point in time, it was AOL was the big one,
right?
You know, here in Australia, we had things like, what was it, Liberty One and Sausage Software.
Onetel.
Yeah. You know, and they were the dominant. They had the first mover advantage. They had the initial seeds of network effects. And then every smart person in the world who thought internet was going to be big, these are the ones to back, and they weren't.
But I guess all I'm saying is I think you can, with some clever and thoughtful analysis, potentially look for some winners, but for the right reasons. Buying the trend itself is crazy.
Yes.
Buying some companies that have a reason to succeed on a volume, on a price, on a whatever level, profitability level, fundamentally, there can be some value there.
Yeah.
I mean, our co-founder in the US, David Gardner, found Amazon at $3 split adjusted.
Yes.
Now over $1,000. So there is money to be made. You can do it if you pick and research your stocks well. But don't buy the trend.
But no one does, though. People hear the story. They see the share price going up, and that's why they buy. It falls down a bit, which it will, because it's super volatile. They panic. It goes up a little bit. They think they're smart. And they lock in a tiny profit.
Right,
so you never capture the value that you initially set out to do. It's complete luck, anything that you do get. And it is just super, super, super reckless. Don't do it.
Don't buy Amazon.
Not going there. There's more to say there as well, because not every company is Amazon, and I think that actually just strengthens my point.
Thankfully, we're out of time.
Oh, jeez. Okay, mate. Thank you again for
your
time.
Thank you.
Good to have
good
you back.
Home.
Yes,
you,
good to have you back in the country. Remember, you can subscribe to the Triple M Motley Fool Money podcast.
And you should.
And you should do it through a podcast app. I use Beyond Pod. I think that's pretty cool. Which one do you use?
Pocket Casts is good.
Nice.
If you must have an Apple iPhone, they've got their own podcast.
If you have to go Apple, yeah, you can use theirs as well.
Fanboys.
Yeah, and remember too to visit fool.com.au. You'll see a whole bunch of interesting writing there. Usually, any company that's doing anything of interest on the market in a given day, you'll find a bit of thinking about it there.
And fool.com.au/Triple M is the place you can go and sign up to our newsletter and tell your friends. Sneds, who sent us in a mailbag question, did do exactly that. He rated it. He gave us a review.
Good
He's
man.
Told some friends. So, mate, thank you for that. If you have anyone in your life who you think would benefit from the occasional bit of investment advice and mostly me laughing at Andrew, tell them to sign up.
That's money well spent right there.
Indeed. Until, lucky it's free.
Until next week, full on.
Full on.
The Motley Fool and people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. General advice only. Please speak to your financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your situation. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/triple M. The Motley Fool operates under Financial Services License 400691.